Hello, hello everybody, and welcome to Transforming Fear into Practical Healthy Action. We're working today in the context of the freeze response. Okay, and I should mention I am hot off the presses right from yoga this morning, so you're getting my yoga outfit. And as we settle in for today, I'm going to invite you to find a nice, quiet, cozy place where you can be undisturbed, where you can either sit or lay. And beginning here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to take in life, to connect to inspiration. And with every inhale, feeling the edges of the inside of you. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it, to drink it in, to appreciate it. And then I'm going to invite you to, on purpose, locate something else to savor. Looking either outwardly, or if you're open to doing so, closing your eyes, dropping inward. And regardless if you're scanning externally or internally, letting the gaze land on anything in particular that feels good, pleasant, easeful to be with. And after you've located that thing out there or in here, wherever you may be, taking time to savor it as you notice all that feels good about it. What is it you like the most about it? And appreciating every one of those pieces that land in your awareness. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the opportunity to be here with you all in these ways today. Thank you to each and every one of you, to all of your families, to your ancestors, to your lineages. And thank you to those that have stewarded these lands, that have caretaken these lands, that have nourished us all, and those that have come before, and those of us still yet to come. Thank you. We ask that today's journey continue to support us all in unraveling the different layers that are ready to shift to fear and that relates to this freeze response. We give thanks for the opportunity to gather in a way that lets us be supported in community with each other. As we navigate these tender, tricky, at times, even challenging terrains. And thank you for the support of this community to be able to do it in such a way. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Okay, so interestingly enough, we're actually starting off with an emotional release of sadness from the kidney meridian. It's around this feeling of being abandoned and neglected. And it's going all the way back into Very early stages of life, like the first 6, 8 weeks after you were born. And the sense of just longing for that sense of deeper oneness, deeper connection, and the mourning of its loss, creating this, interestingly enough, not so much grief, but sadness. And there's a sense of I might never get that back again. And that deep, deep ache, that deep, deep sadness that's here. It seems to be linked to a particular freeze response connected to apathy. Basically saying, don't bother going to look for good things. Don't bother going to look for things that are enjoyable or nourishing. You're just going to get disappointed. You're going to re-experience the same level of sadness that you did earlier. So make sure you keep yourself safe and protected and don't take that risk. Don't take that risk. Be cautious. And that's setting the stage for a fair amount of anxiety too, and a bit of a double bind, like really, really wanting that deep, deep love of connection to oneness, but not necessarily allowing it for it to come so close. And interestingly enough, that's connected to a fear of being too close to women. Too close to women, a sense of, again, I'm just going to get distrust, or pardon me, I'm just going to get abandoned again. So I should definitely distrust these potential connections that might even seem to be nourishing, that might even actually be nourishing, because it'll just be too painful if that goes away yet again. And that's all connected to when you were first born and the cord was cut. And when the cord gets cut, usually when we have a medicalized birth or even honestly most home births, the cord cutting is often done very, very quickly after the birth. And in many cultures in a long time ago, not recent times, not modern times, they would honor, and this was especially prevalent, I believe, in more in the Asian cultures. They would honor a lotus birth, meaning the cord would stay attached to the placenta. And that was thought to be the connection to oneness or to source and giving baby a chance to really soak that all in before the connection to the vine, the divine, the vine, the umbilical cord was cut. And as we work with that memory, that time when your cord was cut, likely too soon, the shock, the trauma of that is sorely underestimated. It actually begins this response internally around suffocation, around not being able to get our needs met, around life is pain and suffering. It sets the stage in a number of arenas, including this idea that you have to navigate life by means of being in a constant state of shock or freeze in this particular case, as the body didn't get a chance to actually adapt, and there's actually a loss of oxygenation to the nervous system, which can also set the foundation for a myriad of mental health challenges later on in life. From depression and anxiety to not being able to self-regulate, to setting us up for difficulties in attachments. The list goes on, and it's compounded by a number of other variables. But as we work with this particular memory, we actually need to run a sea dream and continuing for the next 6 weeks. 6 weeks. Which is, I think, one of the longest standing sea trees I've seen come up in Buddhas and butterflies. So this is not a small thing. And as we work with basically repatterning that experience of denial of getting the nourishment that you so needed as that little one, and all the different extrapolations, ideas, beliefs, concepts that got built from that experience, and how it got lodged into your breath, which is the most active thing that we do. Well, not necessarily actively, but it's the very prevalent thing that we do thousands upon thousands of times in an average day alone. It sets the stage for these patterns to continue to ripple out, and often can be at the crux at why those more challenging things never seem to be able to shift in our lives. So as we work with the C tree, starting with C, circulation of all the healing resources, we're doing it for the umbilical cord as well as for the experience of the suffocation, the lack of oxygenation, where that played out through the lungs and the nervous system, and that includes all three brains: head brain, gut brain, heart brain. And then all the ripple effects that created from there, as we work with primarily the nervous system, the lungs here with this repatterning. So the circulation of all the healing resources, working with them through the lungs, through the nervous system, including blood that carries our passion, nerve communication, lymph that drains our toxins, our gunk, our waste, our low self-esteem, or overthinking, or overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower that inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous system, our immune system, and for that matter, most of our body mind to heal. Also working with circulation of yin and yang, of feminine and masculine, of nourishment and protection. And then from here, working with hydration, helping these cells to take in water and joy, releasing any impurities that just don't need to be here anymore. Then D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking the clutter that doesn't need to be here and what remains to be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, and reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking and opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. We may think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And as that continues to run for the next 6 weeks, we also need to do a fair amount of unwinding of adhesions that were related to that all. And that's happening in particular through the shoulders, the neck, and it's going into part of the endocrine system, including the components of the heart that has an endocrine impact. It has the atrial natriuretic peptide, the ANP, also working with the thyroid, the parathyroid, all things pituitary, and all things pineal. And as we unwind adhesions through there, I see it also releasing the belief system of I will not make it, I will never make it, I'm not going to make it through this experience. And this actually might sound really counterintuitive at first. We're actually going to run a permission statement here, and that lets the body mind know that's true. You actually don't make it out of this alive. At some point, death will come. At some point, death will happen. And as that part of you, as these adhesions receive that particular understanding as a permission statement that death will happen, death will come. We're going to also run a cellular repair through the endocrine system. And it's almost as if that understanding that this doesn't need to go on forever actually offers a certain amount of relief to the system. And as it takes the strain off of the system through the endocrine system in particular, it allows for there to be a more easeful function on a hormonal level. And if we think of the endocrine system as feminine, the nervous system is its masculine counterpart. It's that ease within the endocrine system that's meant to provide a certain type of nourishment through us all, then gets linked to the nervous system. And as the nervous system gets to also benefit from this nourishment through the endocrine system indirectly, it actually takes the edges off of the need to cling so hard to protection. And that includes clinging so hard to all the different freeze responses that have come through this experience of suffocation, of neglect, of abandonment. And then related to that, there is a fair amount of, like, my needs will never be met. There's this chronic state of disappointment and a chronic state of, as a response to that, disapproval of those that are attempting to meet your needs. So related to that, you know, no one can help me, no one can heal me, no one can support me, no one can fill in the blank. And that pattern actually is going to get its own particular seedry, and that's going to continue for the next 4 days. And as we do that, also unwinding pressure off of the, in particular, the left eye. And the left eye has its own unique freeze response happening here. And it basically is carrying this understanding of, don't look anywhere else other than where you're looking right now. Just keep your focus as is. Don't change. You're safe enough. You're alive enough. Don't mess this up. Don't change what you're doing. Don't expand your vision. Don't open up to other possibilities, other ways of perceiving. And that in turn is linking into the 12th house, house of endings, releasing, surrendering, house of allowing, house of making space. Also the house of the liver meridian, where we get to detoxify those old patterns that don't serve. And as we release that through the liver, the eyes are also seeing, are also the processing center for the liver, so this makes a lot of sense. And as I continues to process, and as the eye continues, particularly on the left side, it takes some of that pressure off of having to always be in this frozen state of never looking anywhere else. I see a gentle flow of energy now happening between the left eye to the right eye, allowing for the right eye to actually look to the future, to look forward, to look at what's possible to come in a practical way. And that in turn is linking into the base chakra to literally ground your vision. So what is your vision for yourself, for your future, for your work, your family, for fill in the blank, wherever the arena is that you might be wanting to create vision within? And as we work with that, also doing a fair amount of unwinding of adhesions around the right ear. Holding on to this belief system of, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And there's actually a fear, that's its own unique freeze response as well, of overwhelm. Like, if I have to hear one more possibility of what things could be like that I haven't yet attained, I'm going to lose it. And there's all this overwhelm, and within that, shame is intertwined. It's almost like this interweaving of, I actually see it as like wheat, or like wheat stalks overlapping and intertwined. And related to that, I'm also seeing, and I forget all the different connotations, I should know this from my personal background, of the breads that are often made by Romanian and Ukrainian cultures, where there's an intertwining and there's an interweaving, like a braided bread. And it's like that overwhelm and that shame is intertwined, interwoven through it all. And the only thing keeping that overwhelm in place is actually the shame. It's as if the overwhelm is attempting to weave its way around the shame to protect that shame from being registered in your awareness, which means nothing can ever change, which is the epitome of a, well, the freeze response, thinking that there's no way out. I better just shut down around this all. I better collapse around this all. I better play dead around this all, etc. So as we begin to unwind the braiding, I see the little shame stalk of wheat and chunk of bread begin to make its way out and be able to slip out. And as that happens, the overwhelm actually begins to morph and change. And it shifts into this yellow light. Not sunlight, but there's a pure yellow light here of just warmth. And this is, it's related to the glow of energy that you often perceive when everything felt really safe, comfy, cozy for you when you were in your own womb space. It's the glow of contentment, the glow of peace. And as that glow infiltrates in a good way through this right ear, going all the way through into the middle ear, into the inner ear, into the bones, the structures of this ear that allow you to hear. What would it be like to hear your world through the lens of peace and contentment? What would it be like to see your world through the lens of contentment, of peace? What would it be like to sense your world through the lens of peace and contentment? That in turn is linking into the prefrontal cortex that hangs out roughly in the center of the forehead region. And just to the left side of that, which is more in the frontal lobe, releasing a fair amount of pressure that says, like, it's your fault if you're not seeing your world through contentment, through peace, that there's something wrong with you. There's a sense of, again, shame, of guilt. There's all this energy on the left side, too, which is our masculine logical side of our brain, which says, you need to figure that out. You need to figure that out. And you need to figure out how to take action based on that all. Which has created a fair amount of, well, confusion slash anxiety. And it's also hooked into that belief, this idea that I can't see a way out of this dilemma. We're doing one more emotional release here, as well of sadness around the that there's no way out. And then we're connecting it to the solar plexus chakra for its role in being able to digest experiences, emotions, our food, and our world around us. And to do it in a way that invites in confidence, to do it in a way that invites in personal empowerment. What is it to be confident in your awareness? What is it to be confident to hold your own and your point of view? And related to that, again, there's this theme of disappointment and anger, and it's hung in the space around where the sphenoid bone becomes external, around the left temple. It's hung up in there. So we're releasing the anger response around feeling like a disappointment because you haven't measured up to being able to be constantly at peace or in contentment, which is, well, a tall order for most human beings. And there's this idea of, again, there's something wrong with you unless life is not going, quote unquote, well, harmoniously, calm, peaceful experiences. So there must be something wrong about you, and that must be your fault. And releasing that, well, that shaming that we sometimes take on from spiritual teachers, and sometimes we make it our own and we internalize that. And we sometimes take it on from spiritual teachers because that was our hardwiring from when we were small, when we were little. So the spiritual teachers aren't doing it to us. They're just reflecting, mirroring some of our earlier pain points in life. So as we begin to do that, as we begin to release the anger from the temple and the sense of being a disappointment, it's also coming out of the liver meridian, which in turn takes a fair amount of pressure again off of that left eye and all the various nerves, in particular the optic nerve that goes to the back of the eyeball. Okay, with that, I get to rest easy here, is the permission statement. I get to rest easy here. Which doesn't necessarily mean that we're expecting life to be easy, but that we can rest easy through the ups, the downs, the twists, the turns of life itself. As soon as I said twists and turns, I'm thinking about the different movements that actually happen as the, and probably because I'm coming off of a week of birth. Well, quite frankly, a month of nonstop awareness of birth stuff. As I deepened my studies slightly before the retreats and have been cramming a little bit for that. But I'm reminded of the twists and turns that the baby takes through the birth canal and the various different frustrations around not always being able to clearly find a path forward or a path out. And a sense of there being like literally no way through and no way out. And there's a sense related to if I can't find a way out, then I should just not bother. I should hold still. I should shut down. And when that happens for babies in the womb space, then typically speaking, they don't typically enjoy the walls caving in and the massaging of the contractions of the uterine lining and the, well, more than the lining, the muscle of the uterus contracting and attempting to propel baby forward. It's meant to be a two-way navigation, supportively, excuse me, supportively between both. And the shutdown response basically has the message behind it, you do it for me because I can't get there on my own. Which sets the stage for lack of dependence, may show up as codependent behaviors later on in life. And for that, we're going to do one more Sidri. And it's continuing for the next 3 days on this transition and being an active co-creator with the universe rather than giving up and waiting for someone else to push you through, or someone else to do it for you, or someone else to support you in a particular way. Not to take away from the absolute necessity of being in relationships with others and supporting each other, but finding the middle ground, so to speak. And as that works its way through, we're also going to run diaphragm to intestines. Diaphragm being our center of emotional processing, intestines releasing all that we just don't need to hang on to here anymore. We're going to top this out here. Invitation to breathe, to receive, however feels right. Excuse me. Okay. And now we're heading into the third house. It's the house of the stomach meridian. Works with our conscious mind in a way that we can take in our world, digest, and assimilate. And also from then, or from and through then, develop our left brain and allow for expression of our thoughts and our cognitions. Our mental activity can be clearly expressed. And as we work with the stomach meridian, and all of those pieces that it provides for us, it's working with the patterned cycles of life and finding your natural rhythm within that. So there's this idea of feeling the pressure to think when others demand answers. And not that you're not having thoughts go through at other times in your day, but there's this sense of feeling pressured to come up with answers when there necessarily isn't the activity present in your mental state that supports that, or the pressure to come up with answers that just aren't there. In essence, the freeze response of if someone was to get like really upset with you and you're like trying to explain the actual dynamics of what was happening underneath that. And the tension in the body shutting down around I can't convince this person. I can't help them to see another way through this. And over the years, anytime that that's happened, feeling thwarted to explain yourself really well, leading to again this sense of I should just not bother. I should shut down around that too. And interestingly enough, that's tied into the suckling response. Okay, so the stomach in part works with some of the musculature around the neck. And mostly it's the spleen that governs the mouth region. But the stomach is the counterpart to the spleen. And it's working with again that the way that the mouth was meant to suckle. And if we were fed differently other than breastfeeding, and even if we were breastfed, sometimes the jaw movements weren't appropriate regarding like the latch, or if we had a tongue tie or lots of things here. And it's linked into the adhesions through the jaw joints that have been built up through how it is you were initially fed as a baby. And ideally, that suckling response is meant to, on an inhale, have your jaw drop down at the back. And the lips would technically still be able to be closed if we were doing this in our adult form. Mine don't do that so much because of my cleft lip and palate. And then on the inhale, the back of the jaw comes back up into its natural position again. So the back of the jaw is meant to Open up on the inhale and to close on the exhale. Not through, and the closure doesn't happen through any overt musculature energy. It just naturally happens. And it's connected to the breath. So I'm going to invite you to play with that if you're open to it. And you can take this on also for homework later on if desired. So allowing the back of the jaw to open on an inhale and to close on an exhale. If I was doing that clearer for you, I'm going to have to open up my lips. But again, reminder that you are, because you don't have a cleft lip and palate, are likely capable of doing this with your lips closed, which would be the ideal way to repattern this response. So I can't help but open my mouth a little bit as I do this. So the inhale would be something like this. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Hard to talk and do that one at the same time. So the inhale, the jaw drops down. Exhale, the jaw drops together, comes together again. Okay, I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't, let me know and I will attempt to further clarify. And again, doing that with the lips together. I can almost do it. I've gotten a lot closer over the years. I've been practicing this one for a little while myself. Okay. And as we work with that, repatterning all the way through the stomach meridian, all those times where you felt frustrated around your expressions, where you felt frustrated around either the feeling of your words didn't seem to land in a way that was effectual, or you just weren't understood, potentially even flat out ignored. And as you release that through the mouth and in the different movements of the jaw to support that, we're gonna link the jaw joints to the backs of the hips, the TMJs, to the sacroiliacs. And this helps to work with our and balance our digestive system meridians. As we work with our reciprocal, we're going to link it all through to governing vessel 20 in the crown of the head, which re-patterns our habits. In particular, as it connects to the myelin sheath, the coating of the nerves, where all those habits are held. And here we're renegotiating the habitual movements of your jaw and releasing freeze responses to supportively open up the stomach and in turn the spleen, which are very much related to the elements of earth and finally your sense of connection to nourishment, to the sweetness of life. And the stomach and the spleen also work with our minds. This also helps to bring in sweetness and calmness to our conscious stomach and our subconscious spleen minds alike. Okay, beautiful. We're going to tap this part out here. So I'm going to invite you to breathe and receive. Okay, and then we're working with the permissions around what if you didn't need to safeguard, protect your expression? I am free to express myself. I am free to express myself. I am free to express myself. And as we work with that, linking that all the way through the throat, the neck, the mouth, the esophagus, the trachea, our food tube and air tubes. And also working with the endocrine structures that are here, primarily the thyroid and the parathyroid. And with that, releasing terror around if you really truly express yourself authentically, that you will be heavily rejected, punished, abused, and perhaps even killed. Perhaps even killed, and that's connected to a past life energy. And there's actually a series of them, keeping in mind that we don't think of past lives how most do. We don't think that you yourself will live before that, or that you go on to live again. Rather, that when somebody passes on, all their unresolved energies enter a giant pool. When a new being comes into formation, they scoop up a bucket of pool water and they sort that out in their lifetime. Okay, so for this piece, this past life energy, there is a series of expressions that happens in your lineages that were not met with grace. In particular, as it relates to what's often attributed to the feminine anyways, the healing arts. So whether that was witches being interrogated and burned at the stake for working with natural medicines, or whether that was other times in your history which have been met with that same vibration of fearing nourishment and fearing things that heal in natural ways. As we release that in all the various different past life energies that have carried out through the maternal lineages, we're going through 12 generations. 12 generations of all the times, all the generations, all the ancestors that were essentially shut down around sharing their gifts, around expression of how they were wired authentically, their talents, their natural ability to provide to others healing opportunities with their wisdom. Through their lenses of understanding the world, through the natural world itself. And linked to this, the belief system of I should fear what is natural. Releasing that through all 5/6 senses and linking that through to the heart. So you can stand authentically in how it is you sense your world. Running lymphatic drainage through all 5/6 senses, pardon me. Draining out any toxins, any gunk, any waste, any low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. And doing that again primarily through the head and the neck, through all 5 senses. But also through to the heart for its role in touch and feeling. And that in turn is linking into the heart chakra itself to work with it. So we also need to connect it to the energy of the earth, working through kidney 1 points that are on the bottoms of the soles of the feet, roughly in the middle, that connect us to grounding energy. The kidneys and the heart, they're meant to work together in a particular way, which supports this. And as we reconnect this line of communication of balance through the kidney, through the heart, we're running an interesting permission statement. And the words here are, relationships are welcome. There's almost like an underlying fear of relationships that it's held in this kidney heart connection. As we work with that permission statement, relationships are welcome. That includes all types of relationships, whether that's friendships, whether that's romantic partnerships, whether that's business partnerships, whether that is any other way that we connect in our worlds, our families, the relationships that we have to ourselves, to our animals, to the earth itself. And to support that, we're running one more permission statement that's quite related to this all, saying, I can trust my relationship to the earth. I can trust my relationship to this planet, to this earth. And as we open up to trusting that, to honoring that, to receiving the energies of its support, of its nourishment, of its guidance, of its many, many gifts, we actually open up to receive gifts from the earth, which might even show up as receiving one day down the road the gifts in your relationships, as all those other people, they too get to be connected to the earth and they get to receive her gifts. And her gifts may come through them, through those other people, to you. What would it be to feel comfy and cozy in all the different types of relationships you have? And how can we connect to the earth to support that alchemical transformation? And as we honor what it is to be in relationship to this earth, in relationship to others around us, as they too are of the earth, in relationship to animals, plants, minerals, any other kingdoms out there, we get to steepen into what the heart does best, which is to connect to seamless, harmonious sense of wholeness or oneness. And we get to come full circle to that sense of lack of separation, to transcend those previous experiences early on in life of feeling quite thwarted in your connections to oneness. As the heart gets to connect here in this way, linking it all in through to the seventh house, house of partnerships, of relationships, house of Venus, house of Libra. Working with the planetary energy that hangs out here, which is that of Venus, and balancing it to the bladder meridian, which regulates your entire nervous system. So, what would it be to bring harmony to order back into your nervous system? And what if that actually got to be a bit of a baseline, a new baseline at harmonious nervous system regulation? Got to exist all the way through this bladder meridian, where it traverses the entire length of the spine, surrounding the back of the head brain, along with the buttocks, going all the way down, the roughly in the center of the back of the legs to the outside edges of the feet. And it also, I didn't mention this part, but the back of the head, there's a component of the bladder meridian that actually begins all the way to the inner corner of the eye, and then it goes up and around the skull to the back of the head. As we work with this, the bladder meridian also helps us to see the present moment with clarity, in particular that bladder one point in the inner corners of the eyes. Okay, then we're going to tap this all out here. So, invitation to again breathe and receive. Excuse me. Okay. Then we're heading into the Wei Qi. And the Wei Qi is a protective energy layer. It surrounds the entire external body. It works with additionally communication with synthesis. And it supports, well, a fair amount of things on physical levels, climactic levels, like as we relate to our different climates and our environment. It also supports our psychic regulation. And but we're in particular working with some emotional frequencies of the Wei Qi. In particular, as it relates to taking things personally or taking things overtly sensitively in a way that quickly triggers they will all just shut down then. And that triggering of that shutdown response, as it's held within the emotional, or as we, pardon me, strengthen and repair the emotional Wei Qi, allows for how does he respond to your world in a different way on those emotional frequencies. In essence, we can imagine giving your emotional body like a warm, fuzzy, cuddly blanket that surrounds it from head to toe, seamlessly cocooning it in comforts. I mean, invite you to imagine that that's happening now. Imagine you can seamlessly cocoon yourself in comforts. And as you imagine that, as you breathe that in, breathing that all the way through the system, breath by breath, we're shoring up any particular gaps or tears, so to speak, any adhesions in a way, through the Wei Qi that have been a little bit difficult to locate, as well as difficult to navigate. Like how do I repair this? And those challenges, the ones that are really difficult, seem to carry with them memories that have with them lack of closure, times in which you felt like, the other person wasn't available to be with you, to for you to process something that you really needed support with. And as we process the lack of closure, and as you offer, in essence, the quality, the vibration of forgiveness to yourself, to let yourself off the hook, to not have to keep looking for answers where you may never get any. The system again seems to orient towards contentment and towards another layer of peace again. Doing one more emotional release of overwhelm from the pancreas reflex point or spleen 21 point. That works with taking the sweetness of our life, feeling the embrace of our universe, as well as integrating our own rhythm again into our body minds. So, what's your natural inherent rhythm that vibrates and ripples through you, your essence of you? And then we're gonna link that to the hearts. As we release that energy of overwhelm through the pancreas reflex points, taking the pressure off of feeling it once again like a disappointment. And as it connects to the heart, remembering what it's like to feel held, to feel accepted. And allowing this point to feel like it gets to actually feel centered in love again. It actually gets to be centered in love again. And as we do that, it releases spontaneously this idea that I deserve punishment, this concept of I should be punished for whatever somebody else judged you as a wrongness or a wrongdoing. And as we do that, letting yourself off the hook and not having to actually, in essence, people please somebody else's negative projection of you. And that might have even been unspoken projection. It's just this air of like, oh, I'm always letting this person down. It feels like that. Why is that happening? And as we release that through the spleen, through the hearts, as it receives that connection, the heart begins to pulse and vibrate just a little bit more actively, and its own rhythm finds a new beat to drum to. And as you connect to that, running the permissions, I know who I am. I know who I am. I know this heart of mine. I know this heart of mine. The heart begins to gain a sense of freeness and confidence to express itself in all of its natural ways, how it would offer its love and its sense of presence. Doing one more release of sadness now through the spine in the area just behind the heart, around thoracic 5-6 vertebrae. And with it, releasing off of thoracic 5-6 vertebrae, this idea of things can never change. As that clears out, I see the entire pelvis, as well as feet, land on the earth. Being able to actually be received by the embrace of love in the most powerful form I know that exists in our natural world. In such pureness, in such unconditional, relentlessly unconditional love that the earth regenerates and offers her gifts, which allows for us to be alive within. Thank you, Gaia. Thank you, Pachamama. Thank you, Mother Earth. I see the tailbone. I see the tailbone, in particular on that right side, drop down, and the sphenoid on the left side begins to drop with it. That left temple and the right tailbone as they land softly into connection with what it means to be open to taking in the energy of mothering, the energy of nourishment, the energy of this earth. There is a sensation of, or an awareness of, I can take this in now. I can take this in now. That might just be 1% more. It might be a little bit more than 1%. You check out and see what feels true for you. That I see the entire pathway from mouth through to anus, through that entire digestive system tract, realign and orient itself to being able to receive pleasure in the form of nourishment. I'm going to tap this part out here. So, again, invitation to breathe, to receive. Giving that another couple of slow, deep breaths, letting yourself really take that in. Slowly, gently, sweetly, deeply receiving. And I invite you to rest in this song by Alexis Sunshine Rose from the album Roses called Phoenix. It's a bit of a longer one. It's about 4.5 minutes for anyone who might not have that time to stay. I'll share the link in the chat feature for it as well. I invite you to continue to take in that goodness. And if that feels like it might not quite be so available, touching in on that resource that we found in the very beginning and inviting that in to be here with you as you land back into this heart of yours.
Wings flutter on the edge of transformation. Wings flutter on the edge of salvation. Wings fluttering, wings fluttering, wings fluttering. Spread your golden wings and soar. Find your way through that open door. Nothing holds you back or binds you anymore. Your wings are glorious and they shine like the sun. In the light of the one, in the light of the one, in the light of the one. Flying higher as you grow, flying higher than you know, flying higher as you grow. Spread your golden wings and soar. Find your way through that open door. Nothing holds you back or binds you anymore. Your wings are glorious and they shine like the sun. Growing stronger every day. Wings flutter on the edge of transformation. Wings flutter on the edge of salvation. Wings fluttering, wings fluttering, wings fluttering. Flying higher than you know. Flying higher than your life and comfortable. Flying higher as you grow. Spread your golden wings and soar. Find your way through that open door. Nothing holds you back or binds you anymore. Your wings are glorious and they shine like the sun. Growing stronger every day.
Thank you so much for calling this medicine in. Thank you so much for all that you are in this world and all that you offer to yourself and to others. Mwah. All the blessings as you continue through your day, through your week ahead. Oh, my love. Oh, shanti, shanti, shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Yeah, you're most welcome. Yeah, all the gratitude right back to you. Have yourselves a beautiful rest of your day. And if anyone needs any additional support, feel free to hang out afterwards. Oh, I'm so happy it was exactly what you needed. Yay. Yes, and happy Thanksgiving coming up here to y'all. For the Canadians. Mwah. right back at you. Bye for now.